this song.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
The Edge is back. The Edge is back.
That's right. Now come back to another episode of The Edge, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a happy Halloween to everybody out there right now. And we've got a heck of a Halloween trick-or-treat episode for you tonight of The Edge. Right off the top, right off the bat, I'm going to bring in our featured guest tonight. He is probably one of the most read people on the internet dealing with subject pro wrestling. He's been at various locations. He's now at 411wrestling.com, where he does the well-renowned Monday night mop-up columns, as well as a thoughtful column as well over there. I'm going to bring in Chris Hyatt. Chris, how's it going?
Hey, baby.
How are you doing?
Aces, brother. Aces.
Aces. Okay, everybody that, as I mentioned, you know, you've got a background that's well-known, following that's, you know, huge.
Legendary.
And, you know, I guess you're, people know you from Scoops originally, then Scoop This, and now over at 411 Wrestling. Welcome to The Edge, and it's great to have you.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon. I'd like to open up with an announcement.
Sure.
This has been bugging me for a while. I thought I'd set the record straight here. I never did not, absolutely not, ever have sex with Sean Shannon's mother's booty. I want to get that out of the way.
Oh, my goodness.
But, me and a buddy last year, we were out in California doing some nightclubs and dropped a little ecstasy and walking around the Sunset Strip a little and ran into a guy. I think his name was Lance. Could have been Lance, I think, Skaya. I was a little whacked. Lance Skaya. Turned out he was a street hustler and said he only did the street hustling on the side. He was really a Hollywood writer and could have been a fake name, but all I know is that me and my buddy walked away half an hour later, $20 poor, but big-ass smiles on our face, baby. All I can say, I don't know, I'm not accusing, it was probably all made up, it could have been imaginary.
That was a good trip on ecstasy, I guess.
Otherwise,
oh, God. You definitely one to stir the pot.
So yes, brother.
So to speak. What we're going to be talking about with Chris tonight is pretty much the whole gamut. Just to kind of give everybody a quick rundown, we're going to have Eric Solcheski on here in probably 15 minutes or so as well to join us with our nice three-way discussion at that point. We're going to kind of be talking all things wrestling. We're not really going to be getting into a whole lot of pontificating, going into, you know, what-ifs and those types of scenarios. But we're going to be talking a little bit about wrestling itself, the internet politics as far as wrestling websites go, and I believe that Chris Hyatt is an expert at such things.
Well adept, how's that?
Well, I was giving you a lot of credit.
Nobody else does, brother.
I was giving you props, I was calling you an expert.
Check out Delphi one time, I get toasted from one end of the board to the other.
Oh, but you know what we think of people that hang out there all the time.
I know. That's why I don't go there.
Let's, before we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes, but before we do that, one of the questions I know that people have emailed me about having you on the show is, I think a lot of people got onto the internet about 98 or so, and 99 maybe even later, you know, once wrestling itself kind of, you know, is at the zenith. And you were already out there writing on Scoops at those points in time. How did that ever, like, you know, fall in your lap? How did that ever start?
You know, there's nothing dramatic about it. I never heard of Scoops. I only heard of Scoops through the signs on the wrestling shows.
Right.
Because when I first logged on to the internet, and I was a late bloomer, I only started logging on in 96, and I'll make this quick because I know this interests no one. But so the only place I went to was the online museum, which is a great site for beginners. But and I check out Herb Kuntz. I mean Kuntz. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Kuntz. But no, and I just was, you know, I saw the Scoops signs on wrestling. I was wondering, if people holding up signs, it must be a good site.
Right.
So I finally found it, and at the time, it wasn't the huge, big thing it is. Well, it was like a year ago now. I don't think it's that big anymore, but at the time, it was small. It was just Al and like seven writers, one for each day of the week. And I just wrote to him, and I said, look, can I have an assignment? And he said, no.
Yeah.
So I sent him a sample, some sort of, you know, BS thing.
Right.
Because I was persistent, and he said, look, we need a recapper. You want a recap? And that's how it began.
Yeah.
Boom.
Now, obviously, you know, you got very popular over there. You were one of the draws at Scoops.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I think people that have followed the story, a falling out of sorts over there that led you over to Scoop This.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still talk with anybody from Scoops at all, or has it pretty much been a situation where you kind of cut the cord and that's it?
Well, I don't want to offend, I got some, you know, some friends over there at the site. I don't want to, like, offend them by, like, saying their names, real professional, hi, you moron.
Be prepared.
I don't know if a lot of people heard of him, but, like, Mert Jaffer writes over there, and he and I, in fact, he hooked me up with 411, and I'm going to screw up his name, but Barry Petreski, he and I talk all the time. Do I talk to Al? No. I kind of, it's kind of one of those pride things now. It's like the big pissing contest. He doesn't want to hear from me. I certainly don't want to call him and take it like that, you know, and get all weirded out. Stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Before we start talking about once you kind of went over to Scoop This and everything, I'm going to take a quick break. Allow me to get a drink of water, and we're going to be back in like a minute and a half, so we'll be back right after this. Are you a fan of wrestling the way it was meant to be, Japanese wrestling? Then you've got to go to www.purorisupower.com. Zach Arnold of The Edge, formerly of WrestlingObserver.com. His latest foray into the internet takes him to this brand new site, the home on the internet for Japanese wrestling. That's www.purorisupower.com. And we are back on The Edge, the Halloween edition of The Edge. Chris Hyatt is on the line with me. Chris Hyatt of 411wrestling.com. I can't plug it enough. It's all about the business, so you got to keep the plugs going. But anyway.
Yeah.
The last time what we were talking about was the move that left you leaving Scoops. It was kind of a big deal. What was it? Was it in the early part of this year?
January.
Yeah. So, you know, you moved over to actually the site that started off lampooning Scoops itself.
I'm nothing if not ironic.
Yeah. Obviously, Scoop This is actually no longer. They've decided to close up shop. I think everybody's kind of went their separate directions over there. What's your take on that whole experience over there?
Scoop This?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, first of all, Dusty the Cat is back at, I gotta throw this plug out.
No problem.
He's a boy of mine.
No problem.
www.respectthepussy.com. And the pussy, Dusty the Fat Bitter Pussy, has a pretty good following. He's a pretty quick wit. He knows what he's talking about. In fact, he opens up the site with a pretty good look at UGO versus IGN, which is pretty interesting. But my scoop this was, it was interesting. It was an experiment. It was, basically it was a risk. It was a big risk for me, because I knew if I wanted to do it my way, which is a total shock to everybody, I was going to lose a chunk of the Scoops audience who only go to Scoops and Scoops alone. So, I know I lost a lot of audience at Scoop This, but I brought a lot of them with me, but it's like Scoops This didn't have a good support system for me.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they had their own thing going, and I just kept trying to hold it all together myself for a while.
Right. Now, obviously, like I said, I think one of the things that was going on there while you were there was them trying to figure out exactly what they wanted to be.
Yeah. Well, that's been their thing the whole time. No Soul chose wrestling as an avenue to break out, so to speak, but every time he broke out, it kind of faltered because wrestling fans are very possessive.
Yeah.
And it was tough to bring in new crowds when everybody thought this was still just a wrestling site.
Right.
So it kind of got frustrating for the poor guy. He's smart as a whip. Him and Trey, very passionate about what they do. You'd be surprised. Very, very passionate.
Yeah.
Very talented, too. All in all, it was a very good experience to work with them.
Yeah. You actually mentioned Dusty. We actually we got feelers out to try and bring him on the show, you know, provided that Katz can actually talk on the phone.
I'll talk to him.
But, you know, it'd definitely be, like you said, I think he's got an interesting take on things, and I actually did have a chance to check out that article earlier this, well, I guess Monday, on the IGN UGO thing, and it is definitely a interesting take on the advertising world and how do you make money on the internet. Definitely a cool thing to check out. But obviously now you're at 411. Not only just doing the mop-ups, you've got the serious side of Chris Hyatt over there in your In Another Thing columns.
Yes, I get in touch with my feminine side.
Feel the estrogen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fingering my tuchus right now.
Yeah, how do you switch gears? Because, you know, obviously, I think your audience looks for a certain something in the mop-ups. You know, they want to hear the stories, they want to hear about you drinking and the girlfriend situation and all of that kind of stuff. And then, you know, then you do have your, you know, anybody who hasn't checked out the columns themselves, and Another Thing, I encourage them to do so.
Easily the best crap on the net. Easily
the best
stuff. I amaze myself. Sometimes I pull a Bob Backlund and I just stare at my hand.
Oh, I haven't had a Bob Backlund reference on this show yet. That's a first. That goes into the archives. Especially Psycho Bob Backlund.
Greatest moment was when he beat Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I was marking like a teenage schoolgirl at a prom. It was unreal.
Then they had to kill him, though. Then they had to
kill
him with Diesel. That was just sad. Sad state of affairs. One of the things, obviously, that you're known for is being controversial.
Yeah.
A guy who pulls no punches, will name names, will call people all kinds of names.
Screw them all.
People want to know, you know, how much of that is real and how much of that is, you know, character.
Well,
what's your take on that?
Well, I don't go around in real life, you know, sticking my hand down girls' pants and, you know, knocking them across the face.
You don't?
No, no. I never had sex with my mom. Never had sex with my dad. Never been to jail. Screwed my dog once.
Well, who hasn't?
Yeah, God bless it.
Yeah. Nothing to be said for animal husbandry.
But the thing is, it's like, we all have pressures, we all have stress in our lives, you know, and some people channel it through, like, working out or hitting the bags, some people channel it through drinking, other people channel it doing drugs. I have this unique opportunity where I channel it through writing.
Right.
You know, through the mop-up, and, you know, however it happened, however it fell, I think it was more of a case of I just kept getting away with stuff until I became bigger than, you know, Scoops could actually deal with.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I left, because they decided too late to deal with me, and I couldn't have that. So I get all my frustration out on it. That's why I keep doing this, because I'm so happy. I'm so glad after the column's done, because all my stress is out, all my anger is out. I feel so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, how did you get to a point where, well, I think one of the things when I first read you a couple years ago that kind of struck me as interesting was here was this article. It was kind of like, it was like a made-up fictional account of someone sitting around telling you a story, and oh, by the way, there happened to be a wrestling show on TV in the background. I mean, that was kind of my take on it. And I thought that, you know, the success of it was really interesting, and the fact that, you know, I think at that point in time, the closest quote-unquote competitor there was in the recapping game was a strictly by-the-lines, to-the-minute recapping style Christopher Robin Zimmerman. And then you had this, like I said, this narrative approach that you had. I mean, is that something that just came naturally, or was that by design?
Well, I've been doing Scoops a lot longer than Zimmerman hooked up with WrestleLine.
Right.
So I never heard of Zimmerman, who, by the way, is a friend of mine now.
Okay.
You know, we're good pals. And I sit there, and this is a phenomenally stupid sport, okay? It's not even a sport.
Right.
It's a show. And it's the most ridiculous show on the planet, really. I mean, last Sunday night, for crying out loud, you had the ghosts of Sting's past attack them.
Right.
And they're just jobbers who are out to make $50, you know?
Right, right.
This is a ridiculous sport. And I read all these freaking monkeys, you know, this Skaya, Ryder, Shearer, even Samuda to a certain extent. You know?
Yeah.
All these clowns, they're taking it so goddamn seriously.
Yeah.
This is not a sport to be taken seriously. This is a sport to be goofed on. And when you're sitting in front of a TV for 4 hours and you have to catalog and report on what you see on two-hour shows that run into overtime, and for the longest time, Nitro was 3 hours, so that's 5 hours.
Right.
Now, you have to find an outlet. You have to find a new way of approaching things.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I could never do what CRZ does. I could never go blow by blow.
Right.
I'd put a gun to my head.
Yeah.
I don't think he could do what I do. And that's cool. We're cool with that.
Right.
You know? And if occasionally we run into each other, narratively speaking, it's cool.
Yeah. Now, as far as CRZ goes, you know, obviously, like you said, you lost some of your audience when you left Scoops.
Yeah.
Now you're at 411.
Yeah.
In your mind, as far as, not necessarily even the numbers, I mean, do you still, on the feedback that you get the feel that you are the preeminent recapper on the internet at this point in time still?
I think recapping-wise, it's all Zimmerman.
Yeah.
In terms of pure recapping, are you talking popularity?
I'm talking in basically, popularity. Not necessarily the blow-by-blow, but there's going to be an article about the Monday shows, who's the most popular guy to tell what happened, however they tell it.
Hmm. Well, WrestleLine probably has a bigger audience than 411, but we do pretty good.
Yeah.
And we did pretty good before I stopped around.
Yeah. Honestly, I was, I kind of broke into, the online thing. I mean, like I said, Scoops, back when it was WrestleManiacs, One Wrestling, you know, those guys. I was honestly shocked. I've just kind of recently been educated on the sites like 411 and how well those sites do as far as, you know, they're where they stack up as far as page views go. It's amazing how much that they actually pull in.
Well, you know, you said something interesting. You said in 98 wrestling peaked.
Yeah.
And the general consensus, which I do not subscribe to, is that it's kind of on a downhill slope.
Right.
I think that's just, you know, these guys who, and I'm totally going off the subject here, but I'll get back to what you're saying in a minute.
Yeah.
These guys, right, they want so bad to be seen as respected, knowledgeable know-it-alls, right?
Right.
So they automatically ring the death knells. Oh, here we go. Wrestling's on the down. That's it. The party's over. Last one off has to, lick the deck with your tongue, whatever, and you don't know how, nobody can tell when wrestling's over, you know?
Right.
These guys, they're just doomsayers because they think, well, if wrestling does go down, I'll be the first one to say it, and I'll look great, and I'll look knowledgeable, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I'm saying? But, so, I certainly think that we get new, 411, I certainly think we get new readers every week. I certainly get a new letter. I'm good for one or two new letters from new guys saying, hey, I just discovered you, you're great. Or, hey, I just discovered you, you suck.
Usually
we
get
keep
more,
reading, though.
Yeah, they always get the negative, at least I do, anyway.
I think we still got room to grow, but...
Yeah.
I think all these sites, basically, are just sharing one large pot.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but I don't think anybody's exclusive to one site. You know what I'm saying?
I think the numbers show that. I mean, you've got about a, what, on a Monday night anymore, you've got, like, what, a 7-point audience out there. So you've got that, but then you look at the number of sites that do over 1 million page views a month, there's a lot more than 7 of them. So... it's real interesting. What I'm going to do now, Chris, is I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I think we're going to have one of the people that, at least he's written about you in the past. I don't know if you've written about him, but it should be interesting at least, when we have Eric Solcheski, one of my co-hosts. He's going to join us here in just a couple minutes, so we'll be back right after this. In the world of wrestling, when it's real, it's called a shoot, and there's nothing more real on the net than theshooters.net. Pissing people off since 1998, this site is the best site on the internet for wrestling commentary. The lighter side, show reports, daily updates, I didn't say it. Check it out today, you won't be disappointed, theshooters.net.
Wanna be a rock superstar and live large, big house, 5 cars, you're in charge, coming up in the world, don't trust nobody, gotta look over your shoulder, constantly remember the day.
All right, we are back here on the Edge once again. We got Chris Hyatt. We're talking wrestling with Chris Hyatt, and now we're also talking wrestling with one of my co-hosts, Eric Solcheski. Eric, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, Greg?
Doing pretty well. Eric... Chris, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Hello, Chris. How you doing?
All right. So that's how you pronounce your name, huh?
Yeah.
I had to get the, phonetical spelling from him before we actually started the show.
Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know, Suckle-me-ski or something. No offense, just the way it comes across.
Eric, one of the things we're talking about is basically the whole online situation as far as population, where people go to read, what people do. One of the things, Chris, I'm going to talk to you about, and Eric, you can chime in. One of the things I always found so interesting was, it's like there's all these people on the internet that read different kind of stuff, and you've got them grouped into different groupings. You've got the people who just read and never comment or anything. They just kind of go by the wayside. But then you've got this whole politic of the guys who are actually doing the writing themselves, continually seems like bashing one another, basically getting in wars with each other on whether discussion boards or publicized emails. You don't see this type of thing normally, with guys covering the Denver Broncos or whatever. And you've been involved in some of them, Sean Shannon. What's your take on, why this occurs, and then your take on your part of it? And then, Eric, I'll let you chime in at the end.
Nature of the beast. You're in a sport that constantly takes shots at one another. Who can forget all the time. Bischoff used to come on Nitro and announce the winners to the Raw matches later that night. It's very competitive without really being competitive, because we're not fighting for, like, your time.
Right.
You know, I have a whole, you have a whole week to read my mop-ups. You have a whole week to read, and another thing, you have a whole week to check out whatever Shearer writes or whatever Scoops writes, whatever's going on at Scoops. There's no competition, but I don't know. I just do it because I love the rush of pissing people off and getting their reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing greater than having Bob Ryder threaten to sue your ass. For nothing. Can I tell a quick Bob Ryder story?
Tell a quick Bob Ryder story.
Okay, so I get his phone number through a mysterious source.
Okay.
Okay? And, you know, I'm not Sean. I don't get a phone number and take wild guesses that this is it without checking. I check. So I call his house, and I called the NWO hotline a few years back, so I know the voice. So he picks up the phone, hello. And I go, yes, hello, I'm calling from the New York Times. Would you like, not interested, click. That's Bob Ryder to a T.
Yeah.
Right there. That's why he is a, you know, prickhead.
Okay. Is that the most...
No, personally.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Eric, what's your take on that? I mean, and for those who don't know, Eric has taken a few of those same pot shots at Chris Hyatt in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So, what's your take on this whole thing?
He's called me a pig effer, an official piece of shit.
Wow.
And Rasputin, which I kind of like.
That sounds, you know, that's kind of a royal kind of feel. Eric, what do you think?
Well, I don't know about the issue of competition per se. I mean, when you're dealing with the things that I'm dealing with, namely, you know, a news column, we're all going off the same set of sources here. We're all going off the Observer. We're all going off the Torch. It's not really, you know, it's not really any kind of perceived competition. Like Chris said, it's more, you know, like you said, the nature of the beast. You've got to get yourself over. You've got to have an interesting take, an interesting point of view. And, well, the easiest way to do that is cheap heat.
Yeah.
Go after somebody, you know, for whatever reason, and you just go with that. It's an easy way to get over, but it doesn't really establish yourself on any kind of long-term basis. In order to establish that audience and keep that audience, you've got to keep them interested, you've got to maintain this point of view, and you've got to stay interesting week after week after week. And that's one thing I went after Chris about, in that I kind of became bored with him after a while. It was usually the same thing. A lot of his columns, especially at the end of the Scoops days, were pretty much Hyatt by numbers. I mean, insert Patterson joke here, insert Z-Smooth reference here. Chris, unfortunately to me, got dull. And, like, pretty much everybody on the net, you know, I was a Hyatt monk. I read him every week. It's like, that's the only thing I would go to Scoops for. Certainly not to read Rich and KC or something like that. You know, I was going to Scoops to read Hyatt. And unfortunately, you know, it kind of, you know, the column sort of wore out my welcome for a while. You know, now I'm reading him again. He's getting interesting to me.
Why? Same guy? Doing the same stuff?
Yeah. Well, mostly because, you know, I haven't been reading him for a while. And, you know, everything's sort of worn off, so to speak. You know, taking a break from that. And, you know, you've got to... That's the big challenge, I think, for all of us who actually write, is to keep ourselves fresh and interesting.
Now, how about this theory? This is one that I actually got in an email from some anonymous person one time. It was back when some webmaster who will remain nameless, Sean Shannon, basically went off and melted down in some form somewhere or in an article or whatever. And his take was, this is so typical because what you have is the guys who are going to spend enough time to develop a website, write columns, especially for free or close to free, are wrestling marks by nature. They always have been, they probably always will be, by, you know, that level of fandom. What they're doing in their articles is they're cutting promos. You know, it's their way of, like, being in the business, so to speak. You know, but, you know, they can't go out there and take bumps, so they're, you know, calling out John Q. Webmaster at, you know, at ohhellyeah316.com that, you know, he's a pussy or something like that. I mean, what's your take on that? Either of you.
First question?
Sure. Cheap heat. Well, the thing about Sean Shannon is that, you know, he has, you know, and by the way, Eric, you went after me because whatever reason you went after me, you based it on because I was mean to poor Sean. Okay?
I'll tell you why I defend Sean after you're done.
Fine, all right? And I'll tell you why it's total BS, okay? The thing about Shawnee is that he's so goddamn clueless about what to do. Okay, his columns are just me, are just what I do, except no humor, because he doesn't have a sense of humor. He never did. That's why it's so easy to have fun at his expense, and that's why I keep doing it. It's like pulling flies, pulling the wings off flies, but the damn wings keep growing back. It's a blast. It's fun. Going after Skyia is fun because he doesn't know what to do. He, in his mind, he thinks the ultimate honor would be to mention my name in his column, which is the goddamn last thing I want to do. So it's fun to watch him react. It's fun to watch these people react because they don't know what to do. The head spin. Okay, the torch. Somebody sent in one of my And Another Thing columns to the torch, put their name on it, the torch printed it. To this day, I haven't got an apology. I haven't got an explanation. I haven't got anything. They're so bugged out about it. Shara. Somebody sent And Another Thing column to Shara. Didn't say my name. Shara read it, wrote back, said it was great, well written, awesome. Guy wrote back, said, hey, that was Chris Hyatt. Never heard from him again. That is the beauty of this bit, of this lame-ass, small audience, only a celebrity in the eyes of those on the internet business.
Yeah.
The fun of it, the reaction. And I swear, I think I'm the only one who doesn't take it seriously.
Eric, you were going to say?
Well, it's pretty incestuous. I mean, we are a small audience. We're pretty much catering to each other.
Right.
Really, it's just, you get to the point where, you know, you sort of develop kind of, you know, fraternal bonds. It's like we're all in this together, but we all hate each other's guts. You know, it's kind of like one gigantic, you know, little game of Survivor played out over, you know, an electronic battlefield.
Yeah.
And you've got to realize, you know, with my particular defenses of Shannon, Shannon just reminds me of a humorless 15 years younger version of me. And that, you know, whenever I see somebody going after Sean, I kind of think, you know, what was I like at that age? You know, how would I react? I would never go as ballistic as he does.
Eric, he's a big boy, 25 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Eric, he brings it all on himself.
It's impossible to defend him these days, Chris.
I know, buddy. Eric, every week he comes up with a brand new trauma of his life. You know, somebody from Zimmerman's wrestling column called him.
Oh, really?
Got in touch with his sister.
Oh, jeez.
And they spent 15 minutes talking about me.
Oh, my God.
I have been a conversation around the Shannon dinner table.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's,
I swear, when I'm not online, I don't pay attention to this guy for 10 seconds. I don't think about him. I don't think about Zimmerman. I don't think about anything.
Yeah.
Only when the check comes in my mailbox. That's when I think. That's
how I am at work, actually.
I want to make a quick reference to, because Luke Johnson's probably falling down, calling his lawyers at this point in time. We're not trying to really, I'm not, as part of the show, use this as a Sean Shannon rip session, but all these things are public record, so.
Thank you very much, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
Can I tell you about the time I called him?
I heard, well, why don't you tell that story? Because I think, you know, that's something of a legend at this point, so go ahead.
Okay. Now, that's another beauty, because I have posted my phone number and address in my column, and it's on my ICQ column, and I don't give a flying crap because I trust my audience, and we have this special thing going because it's great to be hated by everybody except your fans.
Right.
Okay? So I looked up Sean's phone number, okay? Because he tooted around mine. He thought he had mine. He thought my name was Charles Considine and had my phone number, okay?
Okay.
And Eric didn't know this little tidbit until I told him, so we flew off the handle when I announced that I had Shannon's phone number, okay?
Okay.
So I found his phone number on the internet. I won't give the address for, no reason.
Right.
And I called like 8 numbers because there are like, 9 Shannons in the book in Toledo. And I get an answer. I get, oh, woman. Sean there? Sure. Someone picks up the phone. Hello. No speech impediment, by the way.
Okay.
There, is this Sean Shannon?
Yeah.
Sean Shannon, the web guy? Pause. Who's this? Sean Shannon from Ransylvania? Pause. Who is this? Well, I'm your worst nightmare, pal, because I got click. That was it. That was it.
Wow.
Fun city.
Well, you gotta, I would imagine that a guy like him, who now has actual pro wrestlers after him, would be a little bit scared that anybody calls him up, identifying, wanting to know if he is Sean Shannon of Ransylvania.com.
And you know what? Nobody believes that tailpipe thing, that tailbone. That's bull. Give me a break. Give me a break. Every week is something new. Oh, students beat me up. Every kid got beat up in high school.
That was kind of part of being a freshman, wasn't it?
Oh, for God's sakes, it was initiation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten laid unless I'd gotten beaten up.
Yeah. Oh.
The sympathy sex. It's the best.
Did you ever, speaking of that, I'm not even talking about wrestling here, but speaking of that, did you ever go into high school and you were like friends with an upperclassman your freshman year and you thought that was going to like cut you some slack and that actually you got it like 5 times worse than anybody else? That was my story.
To be honest, in high school, I lived maybe 50 yards away from my house. So I was in class, and I went home. In class, went home. I had very little contact with the high school. Besides, the girls were all freaking sluts.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing.
You're lucky they were sluts.
Yeah.
I went to an all-boys high school right across the street from an all-girls high school. And every single one of these girls, I swear to God, was a triple bagger. Bag over your head and 2 bags over hers in case the first one breaks.
Oh, God.
Like,
I
didn't get laid until college.
I like the holy kegger myself. You gotta drink a keg that's been blessed by a priest.
Thank God I went to a Catholic high school.
Oh, good Lord.
Actually, Eric, you're going to a boys' school. That kind of explains a lot about you.
Oh, God. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back.
The pig effer line, pal. You had no business calling me a pig effer.
Okay, we'll get into the pig effer line when we get back right from this message. It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the heathens. Enjoying the return of the edge? Well, we're not the only one returning to the internet. MZ.com. www.emzee.com, the heel wrestling website on the internet, has also returned. Stop by, check out the new look, the new staff, and check out mz.com. back once again on the Edge, the apocalyptic version of the Edge, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. Definitely meeting up to Halloween standards. I haven't got served with legal papers yet from Sean Shannon's attorneys, but I'm expecting to any moment.
Oh, and by the way, that thing about him suing Zimmerman?
Yes.
Yes, he doesn't have a case. That's all lies.
We're stealing stuff that Sean stole first? Is that what the situation was?
Zimmerman laughs at it. There's nothing. It's just empty threats. Typical. And I can't believe I've been on Sean Shannon for 3 friggin' years now. Can we go on to someone else?
Yes, we can move on.
I just want to mention one more thing about Shannon.
Sure.
I think I know where he got the tailbone stuff from.
Okay.
WebMD.
Me.
You?
Yeah.
Do you have spinal bifida?
3 years ago.
Yeah.
To repair this, you know, the problem that Shannon's describing. I know Shannon knows about it because I've talked about it. I've talked about it in my column. I've talked about it on Delphi. You know, I think he's starting to steal illnesses from me.
What kind of hypochondriac is that? When you're a kleptomaniac hypochondriac?
Well, what the hell? He steals my column structure. What the hell? Why not? Steal everything.
Speaking of Sean Shannon, that's a good segue. We're actually having Steve Carino on the show next week.
Ah!
Oh!
Look, do yourself a favor. Sit the guy down. Say, look, this guy, he's nothing. He's like beyond loser. It's just leave. You know, tell Carino not to give him the attention that he craves.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Sean's on the internet, because he can't get anything going in real life.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why he'll never leave. Empty threats. That's it.
Okay, let's move past Sean Shannon.
Thank
Shannon.
You very much.
Okay.
God, Keith sucks. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we all know that.
Oh, hey. Hey now.
Yeah, we need another idiot's guide to pro wrestling. Didn't Captain Lou pretty much run the market on that?
Well, it is appropriate considering the offer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Remind me, Eric, not to book you on the post pay-per-view shows.
Tell you something.
Well, you didn't last night.
Well, I couldn't get a hold of you.
Okay. If you go to a bookstore or log on to Amazon.com or log on to Barnes & Noble, right? Or douchebag Skyia was plugging some stupid book, you know, you're going to find a lot of books about what's what in wrestling, who's who, the beginner's guide.
Right.
You know, crap like that. Cher and Buck Rock and Roll Zoom Doggy, whatever his name is, you know, they're out plugging basically what appears to be a WCW photo album.
Right.
You know, and they take pride in that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, unless I'm way off, I don't think the definitive book on wrestling has been made, and it should be made, because it is, the definitive book would be the history, starting with the moment, you know, Vince McMahon swiped the company from his daddy, and continuing on to, like, the year 2000, and just every dark, evil, shadowy, stinky, slimy, scummy little thing you can pull out, plus the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
It is the good stuff.
Yeah.
It's the good stuff, but you got to be positive. You got to, you know, you got to be part of a book, like a history book, is you got to be kind of proud of that you bought it, and, you know, you got to make yourself proud to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You got to explore everything. And since wrestling is, you know, especially now, McMahon is such a tight stranglehold on the business, it'll never happen, you know?
Yeah.
Unless the Ultimate Warrior writes it, and who the hell's going to understand what the hell he's writing about?
5,000 pages as a prologue.
Oh.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch took 5 pages to introduce himself to Paul Heyman.
Oh, Paul Heyman. Anyway,
Martian.
Oh.
What do you, what is your thoughts, you know, you mentioned Vince McMahon. One of the news stories today was that the Hart family's finally settled with Vince. What's your reaction to that? $18 million.
Eric, you want to take it?
Oh, yeah. I was, you know, my first thought when I read that story last night was, okay, Brett's back for Survivor Series.
Could happen.
We'll be able to resist that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, they always, what's the saying they always say in wrestling, never say never? Typically, guys, even though they hate each other, will do business together, and that's about the last piece of business left for Bret Hart. And if he is that much of a mark for himself, which he's appeared to be in the past, I mean, I'm a big Bret Hart fan, but the guy's a mark for himself. And if he wants to go out as WWF champion, that's the only way it's ever going to get done. Chris, you had a real good article about Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on, you know, if anything like this would ever possibly lead to him coming back into the WWF?
Well, let's not forget, you know, he's has been cleared to wrestle. You know, the what he says is, you know, a chunk of his brain has been permanently damaged.
Right.
Thanks to that freaking Goldberg.
Yeah.
Selfish little prick. Nothing little about him, though. But, I don't think... I think there's too much anger there. There's too much rage there. I think the WWF was smart to settle because, you know, there's too much history under the bridge, history that's not even nearly under the bridge. And the Hearts probably had a hell of a good case.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, wrestling's a tricky sport. Just two men in the ring, you know, look at draws.
Right.
Now you got a guy descending from the rafters. You know, and God, you know, of course, I make crappy, cheesy jokes because it's what I do, but I cried just like almost everybody else when I read that Owen died.
Yeah.
And that Raw special, which I still have on tape, moved me.
Yeah.
You know, so it was smart just to settle out. They got the XFL coming. They got the WCW buyout coming, or the attempted buyout, or whatever the hell he's got up his sleeve on that.
Right.
You know, and it was just, maybe it was an act of kindness. Give the Hart family $18 million. Certainly not enough to cover the price of, you know, Owen's death, but just settle and make things happy. Try to repair some bridges. As far as Bret coming back, I don't see it happening. Basically, I don't think he'll ever be cleared. I don't think he particularly likes it, but of course, Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner, five times.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, never say never, I guess, but I honestly think that that is the only thing left for him. But, you know, if he's actually as damaged as he says he is due to that kick by Goldberg, you know, hanging up and leaving hung up at that point in time. Because, I mean, if you're Bret Hart, do you ever trust Vince McMahon again not to make even a bigger fool out of yourself when you do sign back up with the WWF? I mean, that's a big risk to take as well.
Question is, does WWF want him?
True.
I think they would.
I mean, there's a money deal there. I mean, but the problem is that money deal is, it's really not with Bret and any of the wrestlers there, because, I mean, as he liked to say in a lot of his promos, he did beat everybody they have in the past, so he doesn't really have any, you know, unfinished business there. His only unfinished business is with the promoter, and how long can you run that out? I mean, they ran, what, Austin and Vince out for about a year. And it finally was getting stale at the end, so, you know, what, he signs a one-year deal? I mean, granted, it's all speculation at this point, but that really, to me, is the only deal left there. You know, unless they bring Shawn Michaels back, and I don't think that's ever going to happen. So, you know, you mentioned, Chris, you mentioned the buyout of WCW. As a guy who has to sit down and watch Nitro every week and you know, write about it, do you see anything other than a Vince McMahon buyout saving that company right now?
Well, this sounds awfully close to pontificating, but...
I'm just saying, based off of what you see on a creative level every week, and it's not been, you know, in the last 6 months, I'm talking the last 2 years.
Well, it's silly to say that only Vince McMahon can write wrestling.
True.
Can't do that. There's got to be someone out there who can write the damn thing.
Who would that be? I mean, my only thought on the problem is, though, everybody that they could bring in is a retread in some shape or form. You know, unless you're bringing Paul Heyman in to write it, and just, I mean, and he's still a retread to an extent, just a retread of a different company. Is it so much the creative end of it, or is it the structure around it? I mean, Vince is God in the WWF, and everyone there knows it, unless, you know, you get finally close enough to him that you have his ear. I mean, is that more of what they
God
need?
God has his faults, man.
Yeah.
The click.
Yeah.
The click. Shawn Michaels Big Daddy Cool, Scott Hall, they had things so screwed up over there that McMahon had to go in, like, the early 90s and go on road trips with these boys.
Yeah.
Vince does not do the road.
Right.
You get a better chance of seeing Jake Roberts not do crack for a weekend. See Vince on the road. But there he was.
Yeah.
You know, it was scary. I mean, God, Vince is not invulnerable. Plus, he's stretching himself out too thin, you know?
Yeah.
What a whacked out time to even consider buying a brand new wrestling company when he's trying to get a freaking football league off the ground.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's definitely a football league, too. I think that all the quote-unquote experts aren't giving it any credence to at all. I mean, they had their draft this, what, past weekend?
Yeah.
I follow sports really closely, and I haven't seen one little blip anywhere of the results of that draft in the mainstream media.
Well, that's like hedging your bets. No paper's going to donate serious time to the XFL if it bombs out in 3 years. They made that mistake with the USFL.
Right.
You know, so, and besides, we're knee, you know, we're hip deep in the middle of the NFL season.
True.
Wait until February. NFL's gone. There's nothing going on. NBA, NHL, two very, like wrestling, very audience-specific, target audience-specific sports, hockey more than basketball.
Right.
So, then you'll see. Then you'll see the XFL get a little attention.
Yeah. Let's get back and let's get personal again for a second. One of the things we mentioned.
Hold on, let me take off my pants.
Okay. Eric, assume the position. Anyway, one of the things that we mentioned before the break was a rather pointed shot that Eric took at you in an article that he wrote. When people do take those, you know, obviously you mentioned earlier in the thing that this whole business you take, you know, relatively, you know, with a grain of salt or a box of salt, whatever it may be.
Bench.
And when somebody does take a shot at you like that, what is your reaction? I mean, is your reaction to laugh? Is it to smile? Is it to get pissed off?
Well, if I'm on Delphi, which is a rare trip,
right?
And someone whacks me around a little, I laugh it off because they're jealous. They're jealous little girls, okay?
Yeah.
I thought the same thing, and Eric, this is coming first full circle for you. It's not an insult. I figured the same thing about Eric. He just wanted my attention. A lot of people want my attention. I'm the particular king of the particular mountaintop, and somebody's going to eventually want to knock me off. But then, you know, I went a new approach with Eric. Instead of commenting on the little article he wrote about me, which, you know, I got almost no reaction on, so I couldn't take it too seriously. Plus, it was all wrong. You know, instead of, like, addressing it big time, I talked to him.
Yeah.
I wrote him a letter. I did something I never, ever, ever do, and I contacted him.
Okay.
Okay? And we had a chat. It was a pretty good chat, you know? Parts of me regrets it because parts of me doesn't like to be that nice, but, you know, I like his writing. You know, he's smart. Knows what he's talking about. Sometimes brags about too many books that he's read, but other than that, does all right.
Yeah.
He wants to hear about, you know, what the Cincinnati airport's about, though, Eric. No offense. Well, nobody wants to know about Matthew Crawford. Nobody gives a rat's ass.
Now, Chris, I gotta take you to task for even mentioning that name on my show.
Oh, who cares? Come on, it's Delphi. 50 people. Same 50 people.
Yeah.
Jeff Stutzman. F him.
Yeah.
Steve Cobain, who was Matt Crawford, F him, F Crawford, F them all.
Yeah. You're really wanting to drop some F-bombs, aren't you?
Well, I didn't say the real word.
I know. I got the leash on, so. PG-13 here, man. You're maybe allowed one of those per show on a PG-13, I don't know.
F everybody except like 10 people.
Okay.
Two included.
Yeah, you're allowed one. If you go to 2, it's an automatic R rating.
Ah, there you go.
You know what? I never said it in the mop-up. I'm never say it here.
There you go.
I usually use about 3 per column. I try to
myself. Eric, what's your, you know, you just heard Chris's reaction. When you're writing yourself about somebody like Chris or whatever, are you expecting a reaction, or are you just basically getting it off your chest?
I'm not necessarily expecting a reaction. The column that I wrote on Chris was really done out of a sense of wistful regret
it's like I'd lost something when I stopped to enjoy his column as much as I had in the past. And I tried to analyze my feelings about why that's so, reflect it into the history that I knew, and try to get to understand what those feelings were and what the feelings of other people were. You know, why weren't people that I knew reading Hyatt anymore when they used to? And
but Eric, who did you know?
Because I descended into, I have to admit, pop psychology. I really tried to analyze what was behind Hyatt. Chris, however, through our conversations, informed me that there's really nothing behind it. He is what he is. He lets it all out in this column. I respect that. I respect Chris as a writer. I respect Chris as somebody who has a following and who has maintained that following despite all of the crap he's been through. And the name Rami Ortega comes to mind, right?
Oh, there's another one.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, DeVault.
The thing
about that is you could talk about him and Scoops all you want. No one's listening.
Yeah.
No one cares at all. I alluded to that in the column I wrote about you. Nobody cares about Scoops anymore.
Nope.
Nobody mentions it.
Nope.
They decided to slide into irrelevance the moment Al Isaacs decided to turn it into, you know, one royal set of lips on the ass of WCW.
Well, I don't want to go into much about that. I certainly don't know as much as I used to, but, you know, there's no one more passionate about the sport than Al Isaacs. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't, he presents himself in one way in his news, but over the phone, you get a sense that this guy loves the sport more than anybody I've ever met.
We wouldn't write about it if we didn't love it.
No, this guy is ultra passionate about it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that if you're a guy who is not only a writer, if you're a site owner, and all of a sudden you've got an audience, and all of a sudden you have people in your ear saying, you can make a lot of money off doing what you're doing right now, all of a sudden your motives are going to start changing, whether you realize it or not. And if you allow your entire site to be crafted towards, in my opinion, what Scoops has been crafted towards, the quote-unquote mark audience, I mean, obviously the material that's going to be on your site is going to suffer. At least if suffer in terms of what we're looking for. You know, if you're somebody who's on the internet 15 minutes a week just to check out what's going on, and you're reading Al's article, you know, 5 days a week, and that's it, to them, maybe the site's still great. But I honestly think that, I mean, a lot of the sites that are out there now that are all geared, and you can see which ones they are, you know, when you've got banner pop-ups and adcasts and page, you know, all different kinds of crap, you know, and Yugo and IGN all wrapped into one, and you're trying to make every dollar off of that impression that you can, you know, typically, and you're also the guy who's the main writer, you're going to suffer somewhat, whatever your passion is. And I mean, in my opinion, that's where Scoops and a lot of, not just Scoops, that's where a lot of sites have gone recently.
There is a site out there worse than Scoops when it comes, you know, to house styles. I mean, I'm not talking about One Wrestling. And they really suffer from having a house style because you read One Wrestling and it's like everything's been put through a blender and, you know, turned into complete mush for easy digestion. Everything's in sound bites, everything's in sentence, everything's in, you know, four-word sentences. You know, when you got Shearer writing saying, oh, the PPV was super. It's like, I took him to task this week for that. It's like, you know, don't write like that. Wrestle Arena is another site that's the same way. Nick Zakas has turned that place into a shrine to Nick Zakas. He will not let any writers really contribute. He has got little petty rules for everything. And, you know, you do have a dictator syndrome going on when you actually own the site. If you don't open it up to your contributors, you've got a lot of trouble. But you've got to still maintain some control. when you do something like what Zimmerman did, and, you know, essentially, you know, throw open Flash to anybody who wants to contribute, you've got a problem there because you don't have any sort of reins going on. You've got to keep, you've got to have reins, you've got to keep a loose hold on them.
Yeah. Chris, what were you going to say?
Well, just that Zimmerman's a communal site.
Right.
You know, he takes all the refugees in.
People who got turned down at other sites.
The writers they got there, you know why they're refugees.
Right.
But,
well, I mean, you mentioned at the very onset, when you started, you got denied your first time that you talked to Al.
He just said, I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
And then, like, the second letter in, he was like, all right, recap. It wasn't, like, flat-out rejection.
Yeah.
He was the first guy I ever talked to about it.
Yeah, I mean, I got banged the first time that I... The first couple times, actually, that I tried to get involved.
You got banged?
Well.
Dude.
Dropped, said no to.
Was his name Lance Kaya?
And it only cost $25.
Some Viagra.
By the way, getting back to One Wrestling, it's the best site there is. Because it's so much fun. Every week you can count on Bob to say something goofy. Like, we were the first to report on all this WCW crap. You work for WCW, you moron! We don't know this?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You're right there. You probably saw Hoovy Guerrero freak out at the Australia. Well, you weren't in, he wasn't in Australia, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Bosch are the first.
Yeah, I know.
I love One Wrestling. It provides me with so much material.
God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that. I mean, if it wasn't for Shearer and Ryder, fan news would be a lot more barren than it is. I'd have to rely on knocking Skya for 5 paragraphs every week.
There's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. And let me tell you, Skya represents everything, and I mean goddamn mother effing everything that's wrong with the net.
When I read that quote of yours, it's like, oh my God, you know.
Oh my God, Hyatt's got a few choice words left in him, huh?
You've got a few brain cells left.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Chris, actually, we're through with our segment with you already. 1 hour down the road, down and gone, just like that.
Will people be talking about this?
We'll see, anyway. I want to thank you. 411wrestling.com is the place that people check out the mop-ups. I know you've gotten one of them up already for this week. Do you have both?
Yeah, I'm halfway through Nitro. It'll take me about another 3 hours. And then I'm going to bed.
2 hours weeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh. Can I talk up 411 a little?
Sure, do it.
You know, I mean, I'm there. They let me do what I do. If you noticed, I'm a little bit coarser at 411 than anywhere else. They're really great. Ashish has a tidy, neat little news thing that covers everything quickly and painlessly. They got one of the best news boards there is. They got a pretty gosh darn good fan forum. They could use some more writers, but don't talk to me about that. And another thing, my column, probably the best damn wrestling commentary there is out there, because I treat it with respect, and I try to be objective. And that's it. Oh, and the closer is all the readers who wrote in and talked about what they want to do with Mark Madden's mother. It could be the filthiest thing I've ever written.
Jeez.
Filthiest closer I've ever had.
Wow.
And if you hate Mark Madden, you're going to love this.
I cannot wait to read this because I've got a pretty degenerate imagination myself.
Good.
And I know things that I'd like to do to Mark Madden and his mother.
Wow, I don't even want to go there. Eric, we'll be back to talk about that in a minute, but Chris, I want to thank you again. 411.
A thrill. It was an honor. My penis is at half mast.
Is it as large as legend has it?
No, actually, it's concave. It's a bad little thing.
All right.
I'm just helping propagate the fact that I'm like Howard Stern on the net. Oh
God.
That's another Sean Shannon Butte.
We're on the break right now, and Chris, thanks a lot.
No problem.
411. See ya. In the world of wrestling, when it's real, it's called a shoot. And there's nothing more real on the net than theshooters.net. Pissing people off since 1998, this site is the best site on the internet for wrestling commentary. The lighter side, show reports, daily updates. I didn't say it. Check it out today. You won't be disappointed. Theshooters.net. All right, the aftermath, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Edge. That was Chris Hyatt. As he likes to write, that was Hyatt, I guess. We've got Zach Arnold back on with us now. And Zach, you missed a hell of a party, I'll tell you that much right now. Eric Solcheski is also still with us.
Thank God we got some sanity left us.
Wow, I lost a lot of brain cells in that conversation. Somewhere along the line. Eric, you still alive? Hang on. Let's see if Eric's still alive. I'm going to take a quick break and see if Eric's still alive anywhere. So we'll be back in just about 30 seconds. All right, we're back. We've got Eric now. Definitely interesting conversations we just had with Mr. Chris Hyatt. Eric, what was
Jack
your
me?
What was your take, real quick?
Well, Chris sounds a lot like Russo. He's got he's got that whole New York accent.
Yeah, he likes to talk a lot and drink some coffee. Zach, you missed a fun time, as I mentioned. Just
he attacked me.
No,
he didn't attack you. You were about the only one.
He took off the heads of pretty much everyone else on the internet. I'm pretty sure that.
Well, he's a smart man.
Zach, do we have legal representation on the show? Because Sean Shannon's probably going to be suing us when this is all over with.
Yeah, lawyer.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone out there that wants to contribute to the Edge Legal Fund? Feel free. They can contact me at theedgelive@hotmail.com.
Who else isn't attacking him? Everyone's attacking him.
Yes. Yeah. It's meltdown weekend on the internet.
Yeah.
Let's talk some actual wrestling. We've talked about internet politics for an hour. Ratings are in and Raw is under 5. Zach, what's your take?
Well, you know, it's a cycle will change right now as far as the business is concerned. And, you know, Rikishi, no one buys him as a heel. And, you know, it's very surprising to see Steve Austin get a clean win in a cage match with Rikishi last night on Raw. Really a disappointment. And if you notice the interview rating, quarter-hour rings are on OneWrestling.com or The Torch or whatever site you go to. Steve Austin's interview, it was actually a full ratings point down compared to the actual match. And usually it's the opposite. It's usually the interview that's the big ratings getter.
Yeah. It usually sets the table.
In the first quarter because... I mean, that 4-2 that Raw popped on the first quarter, that's the lowest quarter that I've seen for Raw in a long time.
Yeah.
No, but you have to attribute Ric Flair to that. I mean, Ric Flair really held his own on the quarter hours.
Yeah. I mean,
and again, you know, the WCW abuses Ric Flair. Always, again and again and again, and yet every time he goes on TV, he's always the highest ratings getter that they have.
Yeah.
He consistently holds quarter hour ratings, and when Raw comes on, he consistently holds Nitro from going below a 2, and he keeps him up in a 3 range.
Yeah. What's it say about, you know, when your best ratings guy is a 50-year-old guy who pulls, you know, a much better rating than your actual main event does on the entire show.
And that was a pretty good main event.
Yeah. You know, we trashed Halloween Havoc pretty bad the other night. Obviously, Nitro actually did a little bit better this week. They're up like 0.3, up to a 2.5.
And did you notice with the show they had a more of a direction of what they wanted to do, and it was more of a wrestling-based product. There really wasn't much of a Russo tone to it.
Eric, what do you think on that? I mean, do you think that's more of all of a sudden they've decided Russo's going to be gone? He's basically resigned himself from the situation, so they're going to more of a Terry Taylor, Johnny Ace booking direction?
This definitely, you know, smacked of Terry Taylor booking last night. with Nitro. It really, the show really had this cohesive feel to it. You could actually feel some progress going on through the show, like they were building up to the main event.
Maybe not so much progress as it is maybe just slowing the pace down, maybe making it less, there's fewer angles that make less sense.
Less crash TV.
Yeah, that crash TV, you know, they got rid of it, they're going to make it understandable for everyone, even the dumbest fan, to understand what the product is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely had that feel, and I'd like to, you know, point out something in agreement with Zach, and that is quarter five and quarter six of Nitro. Quarter five, you know, was mostly Ric Flair.
Right.
And quarter six came on, you know, and they dropped 0.8.
Yeah.
Raw only picked up, I believe, 0.5 or 0.6 of that.
Yeah, with the quarter hour ratings were Flair from the 9 to 9:15 hour, he had a 2.7. And then from the 9:15 to 9:30 hour, which was the Chronic versus Perfect event quarter hour segment, it went down to a 1.9. Meanwhile, Raw, which only do a 4.2 for China's promo, it only went up to a 4.7 when they had the Hardy Boys on.
Yeah.
And then they had Steph on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for her, I guess that's going to bruise her ego.
Yeah, let's talk about Steph McMahon real quick.
Oh, boy.
There's rumors going around that she's going to turn actress now.
Yeah, she's going to be starring in a new movie, scheduled to be taping in Philadelphia, starting in the early 2001. I wonder if Vince McMahon's going to be an executive producer for this one.
Yeah, I would imagine, actually, that as long as Vince is willing to pump money out, or Viacom's willing to pump money out through the WWF or whatever, there's always going to be acting jobs for people like The Rock. And well, actually, I guess that's not fair with The Rock, because he has actually gotten some good reviews.
But he's actually okay. He's, you know, he's not bad. I mean,
yeah.
He's got tons of charisma.
Yeah.
I think it's more information on Stephanie McMahon's movie. She's going to be playing a hard ex-classical dancer turned bartender.
Oh, jeez.
The love interest and voice of sanity for the lead character.
Isn't that like Flashdance in reverse?
Yeah, nothing like Showgirls, huh?
Yeah. Eric, what's your take on Stephanie McMahon turning thespian?
Oh, God. You know, another non-actress going into movies. I mean, apparently we've tapped out all the supermodels available for starring roles, and we now have to go over to Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
She ran out of Baywatch beauties.
Is not an actress.
Yeah.
Can't do a simple line.
Oh,
reading.
Don't tell Stephanie McMahon she's not an actress. She's given acting tips to everyone backstage.
I'll tell Stephanie McMahon she's not an actress. That's because I did it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I know what an actress is.
Let me tell you a story about what happened last night at the Fleet Center in Boston. Now, you know, the workers backstage, they're generally pretty hard on the McMahon family, but, boy, she's getting an absolute, you know, ragtagging for this movie deal. And Stephanie McMahon yesterday was giving acting tips to Ivory for the Right to Censor gimmick. And Ivory is someone who actually went to acting school. So Stephanie McMahon is telling Ivory how to act. And, of course, all the boys in the back are making fun of her, totally ragging on her, even in front of her face. They're just laughing. They think it's hysterical.
Naivete, I guess, holds no bounds.
And, you know, the phrase that they were using backstage was chewing the scenery, which otherwise means you're a hack.
Yeah. Yeah. Be interesting to know what she'd be doing right now if her last name was different. But,
Oh, boy.
I digress.
I believe it costs about $40 an hour.
Wow.
You need to go there.
Oh, wow. Now, Zach, one of the things we talked about...
Sorry, residual Hyatt.
Exactly. We talked about Bret Hart and actually the Owen Hart family settling with WWF.
Why is he showing up in the WWF?
Well, that's what we were talking about. You know, what's this mean now? Does this open
million
the door?
$1 million for a lawsuit settlement when they were going to go after $350 million originally?
Yeah.
Something's wrong there.
Yeah. The only thing that I thought maybe with the lower dollar amount, one, the WWF now has to turn around by the agreement and go after the manufacturers and the riggers and people like that responsible for the actual equipment. That was something that the Harts were going to have to do out of their own pocket before, so they don't have to do that now.
Yeah, but they had a tremendous amount of money, so, you know, money wasn't a big deal for them.
True. My only thought, though, also, there were the rumors earlier of jury tampering and... that were relating back to the Hart family.
Oh, sure, the Hart family is dysfunctional. No doubt about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they had some incentive to cut the best dollar deal that they could. What our take basically was, you know, that the WWF is the only place left for Bret Hart. He's a mark for himself in that character.
Oh, sure he is.
And, you know, maybe there's going to be enough incentive there to get him to do one last run for a year or so.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, Vince is going to dangle the carrot in front of him of being a WWF champion.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. He'd probably actually take that one more title run and do it for free, honestly, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would. Eric, I mean, you know, we talked about it before, and I think you were also of the mind that this is not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, no, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, definitely.
If I were Vince right now, I would go to Bret and say, okay, here's what we've got here.
Yeah.
We'll give you a 10-year deal and $1.5 million a year. You don't have to act in a wrestling capacity if you're not healthy enough to do so. We'll find something for you to do. It'll be top card stuff. And by the way, here's a bonus. Show up at Survivor Series, you know, do your little thing. Night after Survivor Series on Raw, you get the mic, you get the ring, you get 20 minutes. You can say anything you want.
Kevin, no, Vince McMahon would never let any worker say anything they want. No, never.
And as a free bonus, you get to punch me in the face.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take it in a minute.
That I can see.
Uh-huh.
The Mother of All Potatoes, Part 2. We need to take a break. Eric, I'm going to have to let you go. We ran over with Chris, so I'm going to wrap up with Zach after this break. Eric?
I do have some news, actually.
Okay, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Eric, thank you very much.
Okay.
See you next Tuesday.
Yep, see you back next week.
All right, Eric, we'll talk after this. Get you next week. We're still actively pursuing being on live, I'm actually in the process also of talking with Luke Johnson about what our avenues are available there too, and what our best.
Well, maybe after Chris Hyatt's interview today, you might not want to go live.
Well, that's possible too. Definitely. You know, I could use the
time to edit.
Yeah, 5-second delay or something would be good. I was being in the Dragon Sleeper or something. God, I think I just killed myself. Anyway, so anything else going on in the wonderful world of, as Chris Hyatt called it, Jap wrestling?
Oh, God. You know, I don't want to even talk about him. You know, he's so boring, really. You know, he's just the most uncharismatic jerk.
I think there's a reason I kept you two separated. So.
Yeah, you know, someone lower than him on my level. Come on, please.
All right, on that note, one thing you did mention, you mentioned the Orient, and because of the Orient, we also want one guest to add to our list. Rob Van Dam will be on the show.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. You know, very good guest. You know, he's worked for a lot of promotions, you know, All Japan Pro Wrestling,
yeah.
ECW. You know, a lot of people are wondering, you know, how come this guy isn't in WWF or WCW? How come he's still with ECW? What's the status with ECW since they're having some financial problems,
yep.
You know? Is he happy with the situation? What's he want to do?
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of questions to be asked if he is a guest on
yep.
our show.
All right, we will get to all that. And speaking of ECW, next week, Steve Corino, Zach.
You got to have Sean Shannon on for that one.
I don't know.
Come on, you got to have him on. I'm begging you.
After tonight's show, I don't think
I'm begging you.
I don't think there's any way. We have an open invitation to Sean Shannon if you'd like to be on our show next week.
I'll talk to Mac Carino.
Okay. All right. Next week, Zach Arnold, Talking Smack, Steve Corino. Zach, as always, a pleasure.
Pleasure's all yours.
Outstanding. All right, we're out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, see you in 7. It's just one of those days.